Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Welcome back to the Gold Diggers podcast. It has been an interesting week. We weren't here last week, unfortunately, because I don't even know why we weren't here last week. We just weren't here last week, but I hope you haven't missed us too much. There has been a lot to unpack. There's a lot of drama between Liverpool and Tottenham that we just have to get into. Hey, someone's asking for a replay, but hey, it's not me in it. I'm just saying. There was Champions League drama where Newcastle played much better football than Paris Saint-Germain, and where Arsenal... doing Arsenal things in the Champions League.
All them easy teams.
Win it then. Anyway. Also, on top of that, Man United, they're looking very shaky, both in the Prem and in a Champions League. But without further ado, Chelsea, three wings, back to back, it's fine. Without further ado, let's introduce everybody. I'm your host at Anita Abayomi. _ on Instagram and at Anita by me on Twitter, and we're here with
Shy at Shy Carter,
Ella at LFCLs,
Lauren at Lauren Coys,
and Joyce Swifty Stone on X.
Let's just get straight into it. Lauren, Ella, last week there was a unsettled debate about the Tottenham and Liverpool game. Obviously, Tottenham came away with the win. No, it was a draw actually.
It was a win.
Last minute winner. Was it a 1-0?
No, 2-1.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't remember.
I feel like
this
I blipped
match.
That one. It's okay, I've moved on too, but it's okay.
No. You can't move on because
you won that game.
No. You cannot move on. So, we'll start with you, Ella. Let's review that match very briefly, and let's review the Luis Diaz goal.
I think that's really funny you're saying let's review, because there was someone that didn't review it.
Let's do their job for them.
Let's do their job for them. The line was here, and Luis Diaz didn't cross that line, but he was still ruled offside. But Ella, how did you take that?
It was just a robbery from minute 26. It felt like 5 hours of football and just watching things go against us and against us and against us. And you know what? The Luis Diaz thing, what's so funny about this decision was that they got the correct decision, but they just weren't watching the game to know the referee didn't give the offside. So you're asking, what was he doing in that van or wherever he's watching the game? What was the assistant doing? Like, what were they doing? Like, I don't understand. And they didn't even have the common sense to stop the game. What? So they didn't see Diaz celebrate. They didn't see the ball go to the centre circle, but if it was a goal. Yeah.
Do you know what? It's funny because Laura's there chilling as she's moved on, but Ella's still clearly amped.
Nah.
My team's played again since that incident. Like, sorry. You know, then the breaks. Like, obviously it was a mistake. It was a mistake. It was diabolical from VAR. But unfortunately, these people always follow protocol over common sense. They should have stopped the game. I'm not even going to say that they haven't. What I haven't liked is this sense of entitlement, sorry, from the Liverpool fan base. This isn't the first VAR mistake. This won't be the last. If we replayed every single game that VAR has made a mistake,
Lauren,
it would be in 2019 awful. When they implemented VAR. So let's move on because, sorry, like, I'd like they make diabolical mistakes on a weekly basis. We're always sat here discussing VAR.
So much so that they've had to create a TV show to like analyse every single time they make a shit call. Like, what's the point?
It was a mistake. Like, granted, it was a mistake. But, yeah, obviously, it doesn't impact me more because my team got the 3 points. So I've moved on.
Well, do you have the 3 points? Because a certain someone's calling for a replay.
Okay, let's replay the Champions League final.
You're still going
to
lose.
They gave a penalty.
You're still going
to
lose. We can replay it.
Sissoko's armpit. Okay, let's go to Madrid
Lauren,
and replay
that
one.
We can replay. You know we're going to win. We can replay anytime.
Like, cool. Like, please.
How did we get to the 2019
championship? Yeah, I don't understand.
Like,
we even
go back and replay every single time.
But
Laura,
we even won it 2-0. Cool. We even won it 2-0.
So, that incident happened in the first half. You had the
but
second half.
But,
it's not my fault.
But
you had,
nine
people.
Exactly. Because of his VAR. It was
time.
A complete robbery.
You had time to come back into the game. That's what you talked about Champions League title. And you didn't.
Not with 10 and 9 men.
Couldn't stay on the pitch. That's not my business.
That's the referee's problem, not ours.
Yeah, no, I think we should move on. I think Jurgen Klopp, especially chief person.
It's fine. Take the points.
Yeah, I have. I've moved on.
We'll come back to this.
I took the points.
In May.
Okay, you want to carry on
in
till
May.
Well, that's fine. We can carry on. We've moved on. We've even got 3 more points since that incident. So
and even that again, it's just like, okay. Obviously, I promised I'll say this in the car on the way here. Tottenham are top of the table. And in my opinion, y'all niggas don't deserve it.
I can't hear you from the bottom half. Carry on.
Do you know what?
We
should have never given these people that.
Carry on with your bad vibes. I didn't even know you could see the top from your position. But carry on. Bad vibes.
Oh my. Hey. I don't even get it. That's so funny. I don't even get this rowdy. And we don't miss on the table.
Why are you focus? Focus on your mid-table and your momentum swing to go back to the top half of the table and you want to talk about Spurs.
You know
let's move on.
All I did was give an opinion, fam. You deserve it.
Your opinion is wrong. You're giving us shit for what? For winning games. Now you're telling us how we must win the games. Focus on your own team. I'm not telling that Chelsea should have scored 3 more goals yesterday. So why are you telling us how we should win the games?
Oh, this energy is crazy.
I know.
This is top of the league energy.
We're just going about our business. We're going about our business. And why are we being drawn out?
The thing is, this is what you call insecure. Because if no one's drawing you out.
Hey, did you not draw me out in the car on the way here?
Yes, this ain't the car no more. This ain't the car no more.
So that's why I'm frustrated for context because I was getting drawn out on the way here just for being happy that my team's playing well. Why am I fighting? I'm literally, I was fighting last season in the pits of hell and I'm having to fight again and we're top of the league.
You're top of the league.
Give me a break.
Stop fighting. You
give me a break. Give me a break. Look how you wrote it in the agenda. Look how you wrote about Spurs in our agenda. That's why I'm always fighting.
For context, I wrote Spurs are shit.
Thank you.
Okay, let's just find some sense of order and normality, okay? I'm not trying to draw you out. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, in my opinion, Spurs could have done a lot better to secure the 3 points, especially against Liverpool, who I thought, even with 9 men, had you guys with your backs up against the wall, and against Luton as well. You mentioned it already, that there were a couple of chances in the first half.
There was four. We should have been 4-0 up.
Yeah.
And we played the second half with 10.
Yeah.
I will take that. Sorry. This is the best start that we've made to a league season since 1960. I'm not going to be derailed from my happiness. 2 generations. Yeah. Even my dad wasn't alive when we made this start to the season. I'm not going to be derailed.
Sis.
You can call it lucky. You can call it what you want. The points are on the table. We're finished.
Do you know what I find funny though? That like all of a sudden it doesn't matter how you're playing, it doesn't matter about attacking patterns, it doesn't matter about anything. All that matters all of a sudden now is Tottenham.
But
in.
We are playing
we're top
well.
Of the league.
But
this no,
is
we
same.
Are playing
but,
well.
I don't know.
We're playing, in same... contrast to last season, we are playing much better than what we were
but
playing.
But that's not hard. You were playing shit last season, of course.
So now we're playing better and it's still not good
what
enough.
What I'm saying you is, want,
we had
is that
seven
I've
games,
heard
eight
you,
games
Lauren, speak
manager.
About other teams. And when it comes to the performances and their style of play and them maintaining stuff, you have a lot to say. But now it's Tottenham. Sorry, it's sorry. We're top of the league. Nothing else matters.
We played well yesterday. We should have scored 4 goals in the first 15
yeah,
minutes.
But the point is that you didn't.
Yeah, because Richarlison needs to find the back of the net. Okay. I hold my hands up. But in terms of the football we are playing much better football. So from a performance wise, it's improved. Results wise, it's improved. So I don't actually know what you want. Apart from the fact that it's burning you that we're top of the league, I actually don't know. What
it's not
burning
me because you're not
going to
stay there.
Yeah, I'm not expecting to stay there. I'm not saying that Spurs are in a title race. But for now, I'm happy.
So for now, what are you in?
Pardon?
What are you in?
There's now no title, there's no title race out game
not
week eight. Be
games.
So serious.
Now my expectations have changed and I think that this side needs to push for top four. When 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I said we need to push for Europe. I now think we need to push for top four. That's my expectations. I've never asked. I'm not in a tight race. Yes, we may be sitting there at the moment. Great. Fantastic start by Ange. We've only played 7 or 8 games under this manager. We are doing very, very well. From what we were last season to this season. Cool. That's what it is. Right now, I'm happy. I don't need to impress the Chelsea fans or the Arsenal fans. Our fan base is happy. We're good. Oh, from there, we're good. Like we're fine. We're happy.
This is crazy energy.
I'm looking up her ass today.
This is crazy energy.
I'm tired.
Can I just say, this ain't even a Tottenham section. We're talking about VAR. We're just talking about VAR. The VAR decisions. We'll go back to that. So we'll talk about what happened with the Luis Diaz goal. Let's go a bit more into detail with that. Yeah, and yeah, Lauren, I'll give you a few minutes to breathe. And we'll just
I'm good, man.
Pass it back over to Ella. Let's run through the VAR and how the decision was made to carry on the game.
Well, the Diaz one? Mm-hmm. Well, they knew it was a wrong decision, but they said correct decision, thinking that the referee and the linesman gave the goal, which I find absolutely ridiculous because all of us were watching it. We all knew it wasn't a goal and they flagged it. But for some reason... they said, fine, whatever. But then it was the fact they didn't intervene because even, I think the free kick was like, but it was amongst your back four. They could have stopped it there and then, but they chose for the game to go on. And shout out to the replay moderator, whatever he was doing. The only one with sense, the only one with common sense to say, guys, like, we've made a mistake, let's stop the game. The rest of them... they're like robots. You just can't reach them.
They follow protocol.
You heard that's the audio.
You're on 5.
No,
you're on
5. We need our VAR officials to apply common sense and and go against protocol when mistakes have happened, but they generally they don't.
Joyce, I'll bring you in here. With the protocol, quote unquote, that they had to follow, do you think the decision was just because of the protocol?
Hey, fuck the rule sometimes. I can't lie to you. You need to, like, these people are getting paid a shit ton for that. And to be fair, the guy's been penalised for it. I say penalised, not really. It's kind of like a slap on the wrist being said, oh yeah, well, you're not allowed to officiate. You're not allowed to ref any Liverpool games. Right, but he gets to referee
biased,
every other game.
I mean, that's great for us. Good luck to you guys. Oh, damn.
Like, it's not enough. It's not good enough to go, all right, well, you can't. No, you need to sit down and sit the rest of the season out,
so
unfortunately.
His punishment is that he doesn't get to ref Liverpool games.
Yeah, because of what happened. Have to suffer his incompetence in other games.
The assistant is just as bad because what's the point of him being there?
But this is what I was saying in the last episode where I was talking about stuff like phases of play and stuff like that. I don't know how it works in terms of protocol and how far back you can go. But I think they need to sort of scrap the idea of having to, you know,
write it into the rules.
And I feel like this is probably one of the matches. You see how Frank Lampard's handball caused the whole talk about goal line technology. This is one of them ones where we need to address the rules and change the rules a little bit because I don't think that was feasible for any party within the
I'm still rattled. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. Lauren, you've really spun me, and I feel like you've brought bad vibes.
You're the one trying to shit on my team. I'll defend my team to the death.
Do you know what,
low
key, I think cool. You need to swap with Breen.
I just think, though, Tottenham fans are happy, and Ange was happy that the decision went his way, and he was talking about not questioning stuff. But then the decision went against him and he almost blew his shit.
Who
in
did?
The post. Your manager.
So when was this?
What? Don't worry, let me finish. I'll get back to you. So what I find funny is that stuff like this that's happening in top flight football, in English football, is a disgrace. And I don't necessarily think we need to replay games because that's just never going to happen. I think they need to be sacked for the mistakes that they're making. I'm sorry, in any other line of work, you cannot make fuck-ups that bad and still keep your job. You will be in that office explaining your decision. You can't justify it good enough. That's your job gone. Period. And every year, the FA make more and more stipulations and more rules to protect the people that are ruining our game. It doesn't make any sense. Klopp being fined, this person being fined, oh, you're going to go to the stand. You can't question this. Players can't question referees. Managers can't question referees. Clubs can't question referees. Then who can? What can fans do? Our voices are only so loud. Yeah, we might get something trending on social media. We might do something, but it's ridiculous. Every season, and let's say, for example, that game, it probably would have ended 2-2 or maybe 2-1 to Liverpool at the time. If something comes down to a top four battle or a championship where Liverpool miss out on it by a point, that's their point in reference. And these things don't even themselves out. I hate that saying of, oh, you get some that goes your way, you get some that goes against you. Sometimes they go against you to the point where they cost you things.
Well, Sheffield United got relegated after COVID when I think they were playing Aston Villa and they didn't get the goal correct. And as a result, Sheffield United got relegated. But my point on this situation is that we're just in this endless cycle where they keep making mistakes. And whether it's Howard Webb or if we get the next head of PGMOL, they're just rubbish. Like, they're actually just rubbish. And I think you have to question, what's the point? If VAR, how it is and the way that it's applied, because we see it work in rugby, we see it work in hockey, we see it work in tennis to some extent, and we also have open communication, so we know exactly what they are saying. If football cannot get it right and get off its pedestal in terms of we're the best sport, we're innovative, we lead the way. If football cannot get it right, then we should just abandon it. Because at the end of the day, at least if we went back to debating the mistakes made on the pitch, it's one person's judgment. But to have this review body that are supposed to then correct mistakes and they're the ones making mistakes, it's just I agree with Shai, it's ruining the game. Because
I know
it's
we don't like stagnant sports, and that's why some of us who are football fans are not fans of American sports. But my next solution will be, managers deserve to challenge decisions during games.
Oh, period.
Whether it's won a game or three a game, or if you make the wrong decision you lose it,
tennis.
It has to happen.
Yeah,
like,
you can do it.
It's just ridiculous. It's every season it's a penalty, it's not a penalty, it's a red card, it's not a red card,
is this where we're going? We're gonna start talking about Man City, Arsenal,
don't even get me started
is
on that
where we're going, because I believe that you've stemmed that up from somewhere. But full context, Arsenal played Man City and we're coming off the back of that match. And of course, we've got two. Oh my god, you guys are actually in your kits today, isn't it? I'm guessing Joyce left the house before the final whistle.
I have my
Spurs. No one asked you, Lauren!
Just let the Spurs fans know it.
Nah, this is gonna be the Lauren show today.
It really is.
And this is gonna be the Lauren show. Sister, I've got my hand too.
Should call it main character syndrome.
So bring me
main
in, bring me in.
The Lauren
good
edition.
Good vibes. And happiness.
Oh, Brie, can you?
I want me to go back to being miserable, but I cannot.
Do you know what? It's coming. Don't you worry.
That's fine. I enjoy it whilst it lasts.
It's coming. Man City played Arsenal, and Arsenal finally beat Man City for the first time.
Hooray!
In 13 games.
So happy. Congratulations. As for us, that's actually our first back-to-back loss here since 2018, I think.
Oh,
so, whoa, yeah, in the Prem, so that's interesting. But it was a really lackluster game. It was genuinely, regardless, outside of Kovacic being a thug and the deflection goal and Ake being a bit of a numpty. It was such a lackluster game. So boring, man. It was so boring.
Oh, do you think watching City is fun? I'm confused. All of a sudden, they're not on the winning side. Football. Now it's boring.
We've seen I get to watch Pep Guardiola manage the best team in the world. Of course, it's fun.
Yeah, when Arsenal bent over and City won.
Well, at least it was more entertaining. This was boring. But it was very dry.
On all fronts.
I don't. We'll start with City and then we'll come back to your red card. Give you a chance to breathe. We'll start with City, but I don't. That game just kind of showed me that Pep might be in trouble this season. Because it just seemed like you guys couldn't get into the next gear up. And I couldn't put my finger on what was wrong with the team as a whole.
I think it's a bit shocking that, to me, I'd put it down to us obviously missing very, very influential characters. But having missed Rodri, you could see it in our last few games that he's been out for. That it just doesn't... Like, nothing's clicking, but it shouldn't be a case of that some one player can be that influential in a team where if he's not in it, nothing works. Because he's normally sort of like the kind of guy that eventually sort of works his way there.
That's an accumulation of things.
He doesn't play Calvin Phillips instead, so that role just goes.
I think it's missing Rodri, but also Gundogan's no longer there.
Yeah.
Because you had, like, last season you had the shoo-ins. Okay, Rodri didn't miss a lot of games. I think he might have missed one or two.
Yeah.
But Gundo in the six, no problem. But then missing Rodri and KDB in this team when Phillips hasn't yet found his feet is like, all right, City are starting to look human. Like, yeah, you can get at this team.
Oh, 100%. And now that there's more, like, a defensive influence in our team at the moment, it makes players like Haaland suffer. But I also want to say I've seen a few comments about someone said that, like, he's like the best nine in the world, and I don't think he sort of deserves it just yet. Haaland. I don't think he deserves it just yet. He's 23. I can understand players obviously have patches and stuff like that, and he's kind of not been there. But you can't be the best number nine in the world and not be able to create for yourself as well. Is having to be so dependent on everyone else having to.
I will give
him praises, but today it was one of those things where we already knew coming to that game there's a likelihood that nothing will come from it because we don't have KDB, we don't have people giving him the ball on a silver platter sort of thing.
Who do you think's better than him?
Harry Kane last season. For this reason.
Now you guys are on the same team again.
Now why you guys are raw dog me, man?
They're pausing.
Momentarily, some people were saying Haaland can create for himself.
Yeah.
And he does do X, Y, and Z. And that some people is you.
Yeah, I don't disagree, though, but it's obviously not what he's best known for. It's a case of, feed the goat and you will score sort of thing, rather than more of him being a self-sufficient player. And outside of him doing the whole goal scoring, it will be trying to drag players out wide to create spaces for other players. So I can get that, but today we needed a lot more from him than we got, to be quite honest. And obviously the XG says says it for itself. Yeah. So,
and I feel like that's 0-0-0 for someone that's 14 million. FPL. I feel like that's been the case for a couple of weeks now. Obviously, we all play FPL, and most of us, well, the majority of us, in fact, probably all of us in this room, have had Haaland on their teams. I decided to change him as my captain this week and put Son. Unfortunately, Son didn't give me nothing apart from 2 points. But hey, I'm sorry, Lauren. No disrespect.
No, I would have.
I'm just making sure you're not shaking
well.
There to come and pounce on me.
I'm pissed off at Erling. He's too expensive to be not doing anything.
14 million.
Most expensive player we've ever had on FPL. Bro. To be doing that today. Not good enough.
It wasn't good enough. There was even one point, I think he was up against White, and then he just fell randomly. It was just him and White. I'm just like, what's going on? Mm. What am I spending my £40 million on? But that's besides the fact. Looking at Pep Guardiola now, and looking at how you played against Arsenal, getting your first loss against Arsenal that long, and getting your first back-to-back loss since 2018.
Where do we go from it? I don't know. Because when us players at home, us fans at home, can kind of see where the issue lies, where we need more of a creative output in order for the front three to work, it's not making any sense why he does choose the lineup that he does. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was nice to see Bernardo Silva back in there, but I don't know. I don't know what more we need, sort of thing. Though, exactly. Mm.
Why and don't we address the elephant in the room? Again, why don't we talk about the talent that's apparently better than Saka and Phil Foden? Where was he today?
First of all, isn't Saka's time? He's gone. I mean,
yet still he done him and Foden had the same impact, and Saka didn't play.
Anyways.
Wow.
Anyways,
that was a little harsh.
No, because for years City fans have been saying Foden's finally gonna be this fantastic eight, this creative spark, and without KDB in the team,
I feel like
City can't do nish.
That's crazy because I can't say his performance today can negate how great he's been in the other games that we played this season at all, just because of one game where you've won off of a deflection of a goal. I don't know. I can't say that much. But, you know, we'll see the home fixture.
That's come to our gaff.
Come to our gaff.
You guys aren't even comfortable
in the first half.
She's telling
me to come
to
our gaff when Phil Foden's dad will be back and he will do the job that we know him to do in Kevin De Bruyne. All I'm saying is City fans have been talking of this prospect for years. It's finally his chance to take this team by the reins and claim, you know, little boy blue from Manchester. And he ain't doing nothing.
To be fair, in Joyce's defence, he has started the season very well.
He has been good. Like,
you can't go off of one game and go, all right, well, you know, he's not doing nothing.
He was bad today, but most City players were bad today.
I think the entire squad was bad today.
Yeah, like not just...
It wasn't a Super City team at all, by far.
This was a Super City that we're used to seeing. Like, poor Rico Lewis, like, he was trying to get there,
man. He was
trying.
Like, he tried to put the ball in the back of the net.
He crawled back to get whatever hormones Messi got on, because the guy needs to grow a little. Poor kid, man. He gets bullied all the time. Every other game, he's getting climbed on.
Whoa!
What do you mean? You need to get him to a little bit higher, a little bit bolo. So, you know, he's always getting climbed on. Every other game, he's getting climbed on, assaulted, and it's peaks. So bad.
He's
fine.
Somewhat limited in terms of height.
But then again, he's also 18.
But he's not going to grow anymore. Exactly. He's 18.
Some people have their second growth from 5'7".
That's fine. Those 2 inches.
Every little helps, man.
It'll make a difference.
Oh my god.
Joyce, I'm disappointed.
What did I do?
That came from nowhere. I know. How he was dying for your team.
Exactly.
Yeah, he needs to grow a little bit.
He works hard.
Yeah, no, 100% I get that. But that's what I mean. Like, it's easy. It's also an easy target. His work rate is unbelievable. I've said it since he finally got into the first team last season. Unbelievable prospect, and I'm really, really happy that he even got put in the starting 11. That was a really big surprise for me, to be quite honest. But yeah,
well, you guys do need some new talent in your team, but we'll
keep selling it.
Yeah,
Cole Palmer, come back.
Cole Palmer is happy where he is, my dear. All right, let's talk a bit about Kovacic.
Boy.
All right. We saw the challenge that he made. Who did he make the challenge on again?
The first challenge was on Ødegaard.
We saw the challenge that he made on Ødegaard. He got booked over a yellow card.
It was a yellow card.
And, okay, in my opinion, I agree with it being a yellow card. But in today's rules, I've seen that be a red. Right? And Shai will come to you, bring you back in.
Do you know where it is, yeah? Do you guys remember when we went to the Etihad? I think we lost 5-1, right?
Was this last season?
Good. No, it wasn't.
5-1? Sometimes you should have kept that to yourself.
Everyone has held a defeat at the hands of
Manchester City. Did you lose 5-1 back to back?
No, we didn't actually. We lost 4-0 and 5-1. Okay, get it right.
I'm not accustomed to losing.
But there was a challenge on that Granit Xhaka had done, right? That he saw a straight red for, because I need consistency. Yeah, Kovacic today went stud showing straight onto Ødegaard's Achilles. He didn't win the ball. Whether he attempted to win the ball or not, that's a red card. I'm sorry, and I'll get in my Jurgen Klopp bag here, and I'll be like, yeah. How many red cards do you guys remember Manchester City getting in the last 2 to 3 years?
Other than the red card that Rodri just got
before Rodri's.
Yeah, to be fair, sure.
The data doesn't match up. They somehow commit the most fouls, but their disciplinary action
is phenomenal. Always managed
this.
Even if you don't agree that
the Erdogan's challenge is a red card, fair enough. The Declan Rice one, if he doesn't have a yellow card, he gets booked there. That's
100%.
Yeah, he shouldn't be on the pitch.
He shouldn't have been on the pitch.
It was definitely at least two yellows. 100%. Joyce?
I don't disagree, but you know.
It should have been a red based on the fact that, for me, it was a very similar challenge to Curtis Jones's
It wasn't, because Curtis Jones actually won the ball and slipped.
You don't need intent to get a red card.
No, but it's not even about that.
It doesn't matter about the intent.
There's gravity. It exists.
You don't need intent to get a red card.
But
which
still,
is why I think that Kovacic should have been sent off straight red. Because you don't need intent to get a red card.
But he went in and it was like full on.
But
stone.
If you endangered the opposition, it is still a red card.
And that's, I think, just... that could have been really bad for Odegaard.
Exactly.
He could have
broken Bissouma's ankle. It's the same thing. But Nketiah could have broken Vicario's leg. Same thing.
You know what? You just told Ella to get over it, but you're bringing up games.
No,
from
but I'm
two
saying
it's ago.
I'm saying I thought that Kovacic should have been sent off because it was a similar challenge. Mm. So he should have got a red card. You don't need intent.
Low-key, Ella, like, I was about to back you, but I don't remember what Naby Keita did to Trevor Chalobah in our FA Cup finals. No. So you can hold that on.
Ania, I want to give a special shout out to Teams, you know.
Oh, shit.
She spoke to me, Saliba, not top 10 centre backs in European football. Erling Haaland, back pocket, CV, just saying. That's now Mbappe and Haaland, by the way. Just putting it out there.
Where was the striker from Lens called?
We have to be balanced. Because he was also playing midweek.
Yeah, and he had
where
you
conceded
day.
Three goals. So you are on a roll.
We conceded two goals, actually, not three, two.
Okay.
And he had a bad game. Things happen.
We just have to be balanced. We have to apply context.
No problem.
Yeah.
I'll ask the listeners. 10 centre backs in European football better than Saliba.
I'm never gonna give it a rest.
Because if it was Chelsea's talent, if it was Tottenham's talent, if it was Liverpool's talent, you guys would be the same.
To be honest, if it was our talent, we wouldn't be questioned like this. Just saying.
My centre back won a World Cup and Copa America already. You don't see me singing.
You
this
need
name.
To have some shame.
I'm just saying. That's,
you need
there
to
we
have
go.
Some shame. What else did he
Saliba's
do?
Also better than Ramirez, so I don't know why I'm talking about that thug.
Okay, so
okay.
No problem. Where were we?
We're talking about the game.
Should have been off.
Kovacic should have been sent off. He wasn't sent off. Again, VAR not really at fault here. We can't really put it to them.
They did
right?
check the card. They did check it. Though.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
Did. And they agreed with the referee's decision of it being a yellow. But I think. Honestly,
do you reckon because it wasn't clear and obvious?
I think that's clear and obvious.
Mm. I don't think it's clear.
You endanger the opposition in that challenge, you do.
Mm.
We'll see a player after the international break, a player will make a similar challenge, and we will see the red card be appeared, and they will miss violent conduct 3 games. And then Osman's will come back and ask, where was that against us? I don't know. Man City tax is hefty, man.
Anyway, so instead of playing victim, let's talk about Martinelli and the effect that he had when he came on. So obviously you had both Saka and Martinelli out, yep. And without them, you guys look a little bit like you look very very, very shaky. Like you guys were looking for answers, and there was no one asking the questions. It was weird. But Martinelli comes in and he changed the entire dynamic. So how important is Martinelli and Saka to this team? And hopefully Saka comes back as soon as possible.
Hopefully for who?
Why?
Wow.
Is that for FPL?
No, this is serious. In Black History Month, you guys are wishing that Black Brothers stays
I've got him in my fantasy, innit? I'm truly wishing him well.
I don't. See you after Christmas.
I just think Saka and Nelly bring a... they bring a different dynamic to this Arsenal team. Mm. Like, they make us a lot more threatening. We're a lot more scary. I think Trossard struggles to hold the width. So when he is playing, when Martinelli is missing, we're quite narrow and we haven't had any luck going down the middle because, let's be real, that Eddie and Ketamine, he's not a striker.
What did you call him?
Eddie and Ketamine.
What did you call him?
Eddie and Ketamine.
Wow. Eddie, to be fair, that's better than what he's been called in the future.
criticized too.
That's not that bad.
When you have a striker who struggles to retain the ball, can't play with his back to goal, can't trap a football, can't do anything, any basic thing that is required, it's going to be tough to play down the middle. So Saka and Martinelli sort of relieve that pressure. I do think Jesus on the right wing, though, in Saka's absence, hasn't been too bad. But who I really want to shout out today, Anita, Kai Havertz. Something about him and Manchester City just goes, you know, they were doing 006, 007. He came, goal, assist, thank you. Like, Arteta's three subs today won us the game. And the reason why I was so proud of the Arsenal performance is because usually against City, we try to match them, we can't, we get done. They say, okay, try again, we played well. But this time, we played ugly, it wasn't cute, it wasn't sweet, but we got the result, we take our 3 points, neck and neck with Tottenham, and we move.
I feel like you're definitely right. Like, today you played a little bit differently. I thought it was very ugly football, like, I didn't enjoy it one bit. But you got the job done, and the person I really want to talk about, and obviously we've spoken about Martin and his impact, we've spoken about Kai Havertz and his impact, Odegaard, his impact has always been 10-10 in your team. Raya, right? Raya benches Aaron Ramsdale. That is Mikel Arteta's preference.
Mm-hmm. Today, they speak Spanish.
Okay. Today,
amigos.
Did you just say amigos? Today, Raya kind of showed why Aaron Ramsdale was number one for such a long time. And he just seemed a little bit nervous. He was making me nervous. And I hate you guys. So the fact that he was making me nervous is saying something.
I think midweek in the Champions League, okay, he made a mistake. But when you're at a club, no disrespect to Brentford, that's bigger than Brentford, you got to shake it off and you got to put it behind you and you got to go. For the first 20, 30 minutes, it was like, what am I watching? His passes were shaky. Alvarez looked like if he closed him down.
Tell you what. For free.
He could have.
Alvarez was run. You will eat the ground up if he has to.
If he closed him down in a better space, probably would have scored. That one where that it one. Went just, I thought it went in the net.
Yeah. Like, what was it? Because it bounced back.
In the second half, I did think he did grow into the game, but I think to be at a top club, you have to be mentally strong.
And a game like that, you can't grow into the game. You've got to be there from minute one.
Mid-table mentality. So, like, mid-table mentality.
I think he's lucky that City's attack wasn't clicking today.
Because he could have conceded many goals if Haaland or Alvarez was on form.
On a normal day for Manchester City, that is a 4-5-0 in the first half.
Yeah.
Easy.
He was all over the shop. Thank God we didn't pay 40 million for the price that we quoted at the beginning of the summer.
Oh, do you know what?
This is a
blip, because since he's been in for Ramsdale, apart from the Champions League, since he's been in for Ramsdale, he's been good. He has been good.
It's now about mentality. Arsenal didn't buy him to beat the rubbish teams.
Yeah.
He was bought to make the difference against the top teams. Mm. And if that's his mentality when he has to play the top team, Then you could argue that Ramsdale in the goal as well.
And right. Keepers make mistakes all the time. You've got to shake it off and you've got to move. Because, he gave our back line no confidence for the first 30 minutes. Everyone was like, okay, they stopped passing to him.
Yeah.
He couldn't even take the goal kick. He was passing it to Gabriel. Gabriel was kicking it. I was like, what the hell is going on? But, yeah, luckily it didn't cost us.
So who plays your next game after international break?
Raya.
Okay. Still with Raya?
Ramsdale makes me sick.
I just don't think either of them are good enough, personally.
That's true.
Yeah, I've seen it with my own eyes when we had Karius and Mignolet joint number one. And where are they now?
I miss Karius days. Karius days were good, man.
We all know what happened against Real Madrid, but like, where are they now? But it's true, where are they now?
Nah, because you always knew you had a chance. Now Karius, Alisson man. Saves everything. It's annoying.
Even when you look at Alisson, I saw a stat today, his save percentage is like crazy. 80%.
Yeah, he saves everything. It's crazy. So annoying.
It's crazy. Like, I need a goalkeeper that's even at 65.
It was not against Tottenham where this man was just doing reflexes were like this.
Thank you. That's the thing. I think even if you're going 1v1 with Alisson, as a striker, you're actually thinking, where can I put it? Because I know that I can save it. Like, he actually puts people off by how good he is.
That is a flexible motherfucker. But anyway, let's move on into Champions League, which
only you two can really talk about Tuta. But Shai, you were in Japan. We didn't expect
you. Can we
you
stop
to.
Now?
No, no.
Hey, I'm clapping.
I was too busy stuffing my face. I don't know what went on. All I know is that I woke up and I was like, oh, we lost. Okay, I'm going out.
So, as you heard from Shai's own mouth, Arsenal lost to Lens, even though the quality of the Champions League is shit.
I stand by that.
Okay, you're amongst them.
Clearly. That's fine.
Anita, can you give the phrase? Because we're waiting. What are we waiting for Arsenal to do?
Win it.
Win it.
Okay. Like, I feel like you are all intelligent black women. Purposely misinterpreting me. I feel like it's
the thing is, though, thing go. Is, I said exactly the same thing as Shai last season, but we won it in Istanbul, so.
There you go. Win it! You didn't lose you won it, did you? You didn't lose a game.
We didn't win.
Win it!
We're saying how, though. Excuse me. You guys went to GC saying that you were bored, the games weren't entertaining. That's the aspect that I was speaking to.
Wait, hold on. I don't know what games everyone was watching, because Newcastle PSG was the game of the week.
The day before. You lot were all saying, I read the GC.
Trust me, I've different times. You said I was there? I read it. Sorry. You're right. So she's under pressure.
The pressure.
Nah, but the Champions League, right, Newcastle put on a show against PSG. And it's like, you then look at Arsenal losing to Lens and you think, rah, Arsenal have lost to this lower opposition. Where is Lens? I think Lens is in the bottom half of their table.
They were really good last season, though, so I'm not surprised. Season, yeah.
It's Lance, by the way.
Lance. Yeah.
Okay, you need to know how to pronounce your enemy's name.
they drew today with you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So
they drew with Lille today.
Lille have been in bad form for time.
They have.
They're sitting at 14th right now.
So Lens are sitting at 14th. Arsenal sitting second, pretty in the league table, and you struggle to beat them, which is kind of a surprise. So I'm sure you've watched highlights, no?
I watched the highlights. Arteta's goalkeeper made a mistake.
Raya?
Why did you say Arteta's goalkeeper? Why are you not claiming him? You were just saying Raya plays. You're not claiming him at all. Wow.
That's your amigo, bro.
He made a mistake. Trossard, I don't know where he left his shooting boots. Somewhere, either between London Colney and France. And we got punished. It happens. Champions League is fine margins. I still think we'll make it out of the group with ease. So I'm not particularly concerned about anything. Mm-hmm. And it just really is. We have to charge it. We shake it out of our system. We move on.
Okay, fair enough. Man United is probably a little
pathetic.
That was a reflex.
It's nice because they decided they wanted to match each other brick for brick.
Man United. I can't even remember who they played.
Galatasaray.
Zaha.
Davinson Sanchez to assist. Yo. Old Trafford. Yo. Davinson Sanchez.
They came back and said revenge. Wilfred Zaha scored for his ancestors. That's the first time
Galatasaray is one on English.
That used to be your country.
Ferguson's United. Oh,
yeah. That is absolutely insane.
But did anybody, apart from maybe United fans, but did anybody actually think that were confident that United were going to win that game going into it?
I thought Zaha was going to get his link back. Yeah. But that's about it.
And that's how bad Man United are at the moment. I didn't think they were going to win.
But the thing, I didn't think they were going to lose either. Like, I was expecting maybe
on the score predictor. Yeah.
I was thinking a 2-2 draw.
Do you know what's really concerning about Manchester United right now is as bad as they've been for a while, Old Trafford wasn't a place that you go and get a lot of change from. As bad as they've been, like, that was their security, Stretford End, them, they were the Fergie boys making all the noise. But now it's like, you want some? You want some? You want
give you some change?
You're gonna get some. You'll get some at Old Trafford.
I would kill for Chelsea to play Man United right now. I would kill for it.
We all know that's gonna be a draw.
Yeah,
we'll
be
You never know. You never know. We might be able to call Palmer, do something for me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we actually might be able to get a win.
Your midfield's quite strong. You can play through Man United's midfield like it's
exactly
it's slice it through it like butter.
Oh, you said something nice about Chelsea today. Brilliant. Thank you. Appreciate that.
I'm not, like, when did I didn't even criticize Chelsea in the car.
You slyly just said they couldn't see the top half of the table.
Yeah, so that's factual information.
Fair.
Sorry. That's not an opinion. They said, I didn't say in my opinion, you're 11.
You just over a this time.
That's just factual information.
So go back to the Champions
League. Going back
to the Champions League. Wilfred Zaha got his lick back. Rooty fucking do. Newcastle versus PSG. That was probably
Dan
the
Burns.
Wow.
Danny Burns.
Longstaff. The Geordie boy.
Yeah, like, living the absolute dream. Obviously, Almiron set it off. But let's talk about PSG. PSG look absolutely dismantled. Firstly, I think they went into the Newcastle game very complacent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They don't know when Newcastle was on the map.
Do you remember that video?
Of Mbappe. It's cold up
playing
there.
Career mode with Newcastle. Bro. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just like, you do not go up to Newcastle complacent. That atmosphere alone will shake yourself.
I think in general, I don't think any team should, whilst you're in the Champions League, I don't think you should ever think you're coming into that game winning it.
And unless some, like, you went to Leipzig, know that you're going to win, like,
Leipzig likes to throw a few little, boomerangs at us sometimes, you know, they like it, they
Do
like
you see
it.
The smile on my face?
Because of Neymar, and we're going to get to that, it's fine.
He thought he could get rid of him!
What's your fucking problem, bro?
Nah, but it's true.
What were they calling him on Twitter? And bedbug.
Against Newcastle, and I didn't see them, even though they got a goal, I didn't see them scoring for the entire time. It was ridiculous the way Newcastle played them off the park,
and the intensity
was crazy, right? Everyone watched it, right? Mm. We all watched it. When it comes to atmospheres, and I'll go to Ella because your atmosphere is always talked about when it comes to the Champions League. Mm-hmm. When it comes to atmosphere, how important is it that you have that 12th man in the stands?
It's very, I mean, PSG have been shocking in the league anyway, so I'm not even surprised. And Newcastle did their homework. Like, they knew that midfield was not strong enough. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like the thing with PSG is they've replaced Neymar and Messi, players that are just nowhere near as good.
Couldn't even shine their shoes.
They're just nowhere near as good. And PSG have always been praised for their individual quality and how many, like, game changers they have. But they just don't have individuals that are good enough to lace Neymar and Messi's boots, and that's this is the result.
Exactly. And hey! They're currently sitting third in their league, which is, don't get me wrong, like it's still a long way to go, yeah, but for them to be sitting third 8 games in, it's just a bit like, wow. You, there's Luis clearly
Enrique
something.
Seeing out the season, sorry.
Yeah, no, I think Luis Enrique will see it out, but just not well.
Lucho Tactico. MSN gave that guy a career, bro. Mm. He's a fraud.
Boy, that's why I didn't want him at Chelsea. You know, I need to keep in mind. When Chelsea fans were like, we need Luis Enrique, I said, no, we don't. We do not. But let's talk about Neymar and the effect that he's had on this PSG team. Now that he's gone, we're starting to see the kinks unfold. And maybe it's not just Neymar, maybe it's Neymar and Messi. But more
I think
so
it's
Neymar.
More than that. I think it's big personalities like your Sergio Ramoses. Mm. Those type of people that have standards and have the mentality and knows what it takes to turn up to a game and play. Those people, Dembele, Kolo Muani, like,
I can just imagine Dembele saying,
they don't have the cojones.
Bro, I'm so sure after that match, Dembele went on clubs. Like, he definitely went on EFB.
That player owner manager thought that he could get rid of two of the best creators in possibly the last 15 or so years in football, replace them with his mates, and they would do anything. I think more so than rather than focusing on Mbappe and missing Neymar and Messi, Ousmane Dembele is a failure of a player.
Oh,
I am so sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to let you rub him out like that. Like,
that's fine.
He was awful.
That cameo is as bad as the one in the World Cup final that he got hooked for. Like, it was shocking. When you think Barcelona played over 130 million euros for him from Dortmund to Barca to PSG, when has he really stood out for a player of that price tag?
Do you know what it is about Dembele, yeah? I don't think he thinks before he makes decisions, especially in the final third. Because there were several runs that he made and he took a shot on goal. And I could see Mbappe just fed up. Like, he was
because it's
fed
not,
up.
Why are you shooting from? You're not good enough to shoot from there.
No, the thing is, he is. But when it doesn't come off the first two times,
you need to wrap it up.
Keep it.
Wrap
it up.
You can't stat pad against like the smaller teams. Because actually, like, When has Dembele and it's been a big game for Barcelona or a big game for PSG or a big game for Dortmund, well maybe more so Dortmund, and we sat here and said, Dembele was the one that won them the game.
We haven't.
Dot.
Yeah, I've never seen that happen.
And that's his issue,
but.
Because he needed people to stand up. To be honest, I think Mbappe also had a dreadful
game. He didn't
do
nothing.
He's done. He wants to leave. He's waiting to fly to Madrid.
But he could have left.
Did he resign?
To go to Saudi?
No, he didn't. Definitely not. Okay, cool.
The only bid that was accepted was from a Saudi club.
That's the only people that could afford
him.
He's got no choice, man.
He's stuck in that prison. Playing with these people.
That's his fault.
He signed the contract.
That is his fault.
I also don't think Newcastle lose a game at St. James Park. I think AC Milan and Dortmund are losing there.
100% agree with you.
I want it so bad.
The thing is, like, I have a strong feeling Newcastle are going to get further than we predicted last season. Because remember, everyone was like, Champions League are coming back to the Prem and FA Cup and the Carabao is all going to catch up with them. But I strongly think that they will go far. Maybe not in the Prem. They might drop down in the Prem and might have to fight for Europa League spots or Conference League spots. But in that Champions League, they're going to shock people.
That's good for me, boy. I don't mind. Drop points in the Prem. Carry on. League, sorry, we're not fighting to win the Champions League this season. So
by the way, this is a disclaimer. This is only if they don't meet like Bayern Munich and Man City in the quarters.
There's certain teams in the champs that they've been through worse in terms of atmospheres.
Sure.
That said, like, you can get rowdy. They're just going to shut you up with their quality. But that group is a group of away fixtures.
Yeah.
I don't see Newcastle winning in Dortmund. I don't see Dortmund winning in Newcastle. I don't see them winning away in Milan. It's just...
But the good thing about that is that they've really gone to Milan and they collected a point.
Very lucky point.
That's going to be such an important point
by the end of it,
when it comes down to it at the end of the group stages.
Milan are dodgy though. They might be the only team that go there and get some sort of result.
Milan ain't getting a result at Newcastle.
We'll see, man. Do you see Drew playing a goal?
Yeah. That was actually really impressive. I like that.
Newcastle getting out of the group. I have long may it go. Let them go all the way to the final and lose. Because they'll keep dropping points in the Prem as they did today. Because all their emotional energy is being used midweek. Carry on. Ooh, away the lads.
Oh, Lauren is on.
I don't mind that though. I don't mind that though. That's I mean, you can respect all companies, but I think when you're in something completely different, give it your all. Why not?
Mm.
At the end of the day, how far down could Newcastle genuinely fall in this season? Probably not. They'll probably still stay at the top end of the table.
Still be on the top half
by
the
end of the season,
I believe. Anyway,
I still think they've got the quality to do so, even if they do end up coming out round of 16.
Mm. But I think we will see that drop off when, you know, you got FA Cup game, then you got a Premier League game, then you're going away in the Champions League.
Every 3 days.
And then it's like, okay.
And that comes around like November, and then it will come again in February.
Hypothetically, we're going to Madrid, then we got Chelsea away on the weekend, and then we got FA Cup game against United.
If they're going to Madrid, they might as well play their second team, because they'll never beat
them. Atletico, not Real.
Oh, okay, I was about to say
You never know. You never know.
They will catch up because Eddie Howe's
always. Newcastle has not beaten Real Madrid.
I want something special for them.
Just see Jude Bellingham.
No,
signature pose.
No, because that would be the game you chose to watch your children.
I am here.
Yeah.
No, but because Eddie Howe's already been saying in the press conferences that they're not able to train when they're coming back from the Champions League, and they're literally managing the fitness.
Welcome to the big league.
They're gonna struggle with that the longer their competition.
I didn't even know Eddie Howe said that. That's what I mean.
He said it after the Milan game. Game one, he said that the people couldn't train properly.
He's with the big boys now. At like big boys.
Sometimes top teams, all they do is go down on cool bikes. Then it's like, there's no tactics. We're just gonna use our quality to try and win this game.
Nah.
I think that was the funniest thing, because
that was the Milan game. Because
that's how Stones ended up getting his injury. It was after the Super Cup game. We won it, and literally, I think like 3 hours later, we were training, and he got an injury from that. He's only just come back now. So can you imagine the likes of Newcastle having to recover from that?
And especially if it's like their players of higher quality. So if it is, that happens.
Yeah.
That in this whole Bruno
finished.
Gomes.
It's over.
Then it's like, so the dream was fun, but now you see you don't have the squad.
Yeah. Even that, Callum Wilson and them lot, they've already started picking up injuries.
Callum Wilson's always injured anyway.
Callum Wilson, that guy, I don't know when he's fit.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, you have Saudi owners now. This is what happens. Mm. You've got to manage it
Ask for the money.
It's so crazy. Chelsea really chose the wrong British manager, but that's fine. We'll talk about that another time. Okay. Tottenham. This is what I wrote down in the agenda. Tottenham catch live for 2 weeks straight. Shit performances against Luton and Liverpool. Basuma red card, Postecoglou, nice guy moments. Take it away, Lauren. This is your show today.
We were not shit. Like, we were not clinical. But the first 15 minutes, like, I'm not even exaggerating, we could have been 4-0 up. And I think if we had taken those chances, then Bissouma doesn't make the idiotic pullback that's all his yellow cards are all the same. And then he doesn't dive in desperation at the end of the first half.
It wasn't even life or death. Your first half, man.
Like, we still had a whole half to play. Like, it's just so embarrassing. The first yellow he got would have ruled him out of the Fulham game because it was 5 yellow cards.
Yeah, that's what I was really interested about. It's like, you're going to be suspended for the next game anyway.
Yeah.
But now
he goes back down to 4 yellow cards and he takes the suspension. So he could then get suspended again when he comes back. Like, really, really, really stupid. But I don't know. I look at the team and feel like it's a new team under Ange. And we're being asked to win in different ways. And I actually think Mickey van der Ven and Romero did exceptionally well.
Is it a new team though?
They've got a new fighting spirit.
Look, compared to the back four and goalkeeper, only Romero, and then I guess you've got Pedro Porro from the second half of last season. They're the only two that were playing in the team last season. Like, half of our team is different. Mm-hmm. We had to win ugly yesterday, but we got 3 points.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, like, we played very, very well at the beginning, didn't score any of the chances, but we showed a different side. We showed a level of resilience yesterday. And there have been times watching that, us last season, the season before that, we would have lost that game. So yeah, like, I don't know. For me, I saw it, job done. Happy days.
Luton Town.
I was thinking, that's kind of my thing. We would have lost that, like, last year or something. Like,
yeah, because we would have gone down to 10. We would have lost our heads all over the shop. We would have been completely disorganised. And
so you think that Postecoglou brings that kind of organised and...
Yeah, because he's calm. Like, he's very much, like... I think the reason why he speaks very, very well. He's a very good motivational speaker. Mm. But equally, he's very, very calm on the sidelines. He's not losing his head. He's not screaming at people. Mm-hmm. He's just like, keep playing. Keep playing the way that I've told you to play. And that's why we've got these late winners. Fitness levels are really, really good as well. Mm. That I've seen a team now that regardless of the situation that they've been in, they haven't panicked. They've just kept going. So yeah, I'm cool.
Genuinely, I don't think you can take it away from Spurs because I can't stop thinking about Conte's press conference when he basically said, "You guys are a bunch of fucking losers, man." Yeah. You can't take it away from them to now see a squad. But you now see a squad that are actually wanting to fight for something that aren't just accustomed to, you know, trying to get for top four or even just trying to sit at a okay level.
Tottenham were really lucky yesterday that Luton were. As dire as them in front of goal, and if Luton had just one player that could have put away one of those chances, I don't think Tottenham fans are as happy as they are today. But also on the Tottenham end, they can't keep being wasteful.
Oh yeah,
no, I also can agree. I've sat here and said Richarlison would pay 60 mil, and you haven't even paid back 60p. and it's pissing me off because that first one I could have scored it myself. I don't even play football. I know I could have scored that goal myself. So it's not good enough from him. But
do you think in January Levy gets you an attacker?
No.
Because me, my brain is going for what reason? That guy's gonna sit there go. Nah.
Yeah. Do you know Daniel Levy? You really think he's gonna?
He's
waiting for his 60 million investment to come true. I don't think we're buying another attacker. I think we needed to buy another centre half. We don't have any cover. We've got Van de Ven and Romero only, really.
That Van de Ven guy is good, man.
And he's coming. I'm eyeing
him up still. Tiki, do something for me.
but he's rapid. He's good on the ball. Defensively, he's very, very good, and he's. I don't know, what, 6-7 games into English football. He's adapted very, very, very well.
So. I do think it's good if you started, though. If the top four race that you claim to be in gets a bit tight,
claimed anything.
Do you think that a tackle you'll fall short, especially if Son or Madison is missing?
But I've said this every single week. Like, we are a couple of injuries from the wheels falling off. Yes, but whilst the tyres are still on the car, we're in the race. if after international break, Madison and Sonny come back injured, bye-bye, you'll see us tumbling back down the table. But that's the reality. The same way that Arsenal are a different team without Martinelli and Saka. If you take Madison and Son out of our team, of course we're going to struggle. But every Spurs fan is firmly aware of that. But we enjoy it whilst it lasts.
I bet any money, if Arteta could have bought Saka to play today with one leg, he would have done it. Yeah. He would have done it.
Yeah, it's because he actually has a hamstring injury. It's not his Achilles that's bothering him, so he can't risk that one.
And Son and Madison have been playing through injury as well. That's why they haven't been doing 90 minutes, because they're managing their injuries.
How long do we have to wait for players to manage their injuries? Like, it's not healthy, it's not good. Bukayo Saka, like, I'm not being funny, stop me shy. Like, you let him rest. That man
would pull up whatever they gave Santi Cazorla to get him to play another 20 minutes.
God! He pulled him out of the England squad, and I think the long term.
Do you know what? I even thought it was cheeky that he was announced in the England squad to begin with.
The long term implication of doing that is Kevin De Bruyne. Now he's out for 4 months.
Yeah.
You kept patching up his hamstring, you patched it up, you patched it up.
Every single day when I see that man's not coming back till mid December, I think, damn.
And now it's like, that's what you get. And it's like, for me personally, Saka, if we have to miss him for 2 months to not miss him for 8 hours. I will take it.
Mm. I feel like the next 2 months, leave him.
He'll be back for Chelsea. He's
just doubtful at this moment.
He's out for 2 months.
No, he's not out. I'm just saying.
Goodness.
Wow.
I ain't gonna lie.
Like,
they should.
send him to the Bahamas. Yeah,
He will be back for Chelsea.
Man, he needs. It's a hamstring.
I think we have a full team for Chelsea, actually, apart from Timber.
Yeah.
Finally. Ain't Nkunku back as well?
No.
Oh.
No.
No, not until November.
Hey! Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is it home or away?
Huh?
Home Chelsea at home. What does that matter?
Well done.
Oh. What you're not going to do, what you're gonna do is be disrespectful. Like, there's... Like, come on.
Oh, they scored.
You scored. Barcelona.
Have they?
Yeah. Or did you just get the game is anyways. On the screen. We are women who watch every single league in the world, baby. Okay, enough Tottenham talk. No disrespect, sorry.
No, that's okay. Yeah. I know it pains you.
So how do we get here again? Because we're talking about Champions League.
Huh?
What are we talking about?
Okay.
Yeah,
we're
talking
about Tottenham, sweetheart.
I know we're not in the club this
week.
That's
why
I was confused.
That's
fine.
That's
okay.
So why is it when Joyce is shading you, you don't raise your voice to her when it's me?
because it's constant. She's fed up.
It's constant.
I did it. We'll talk after. Let's move on to Liverpool because I feel like I don't hear enough about Liverpool, and it was a shock for me to find out that Liverpool are actually sitting fourth on the table. How the hell did you guys end up there?
We won games and we were wrong.
I mean, it feels like a jab to Chelsea. I know you weren't even trying to jab at Chelsea.
No, it just feels like a jab. No, I just feel like we've been quietly going about our business because I don't think people expected Liverpool to start this well.
I'm so still laughing about Caicedo.
Yeah, while you guys were laughing, we were working.
Oh, she said, while you guys were doing this, I was getting out of work.
Wait, the shot today has been lethal. Oh, my.
Come and take my spot.
Yeah, whoa.
She said,
while you guys were doing this, we were working. For context, for those of you that don't watch the visuals, Anita has got up.
She wanted to leave the building, but we've got like 8 minutes left, so.
I thought she'd have been told I have responsibilities.
Imagine so that.
Yeah, so Liverpool?
Yeah, so. So, yeah, we had a blip last week, of course. Don't want to speak about that. We spoke about that. Today's game.
Before Laura gets set off again.
I know. Today's game. Brighton are always difficult. Like, we went into the game, I think we won 1-7 against Brighton. They're a bit of our bogey team. We started all right. Then Van Dijk decided to give a ball to McAllister. He didn't control it. Three men. I'll come back to McAllister and the sixth position.
We actually need to speak about him because I need to ask what is he doing? And what's leaving Brighton a good move for him?
I'll explain.
I've never forgotten.
Nah, Jess. Yeah, anyway. And yeah, they scored from far out. I think Alisson could have done better, as much as I love him and he's brilliant. For his own expectations, he could have done better. We did well to come back into the game, 2-1 up. And then we just kind of stopped playing. I mean, Gravenberch had that golden opportunity to make it 3-1. Super disappointed. And then Robertson decided not to defend the free kick.
Happens in old age.
He just chose to. He just decided to leave it. Yeah.
I didn't even watch the match, but I'm crying. Robertson's fans.
Nah, the player ran right past him and put him on the back of the net. He was just standing
He actually could have laid a carpet there. Just gone. Go ahead, man.
Literally, he was at front post. Balls there. He just decided to leave it.
Do you not think though, Ella, that Klopp's defensive changes made you?
I'll come to that.
Shit, I got time.
I'll come to that because I thought Matip and Trent did really well against Matoma.
He wasn't in the game until Gomez came on the bench.
And then Klopp decided to make, I think he was bored. He just decided to make two changes. He decided to put Konate in, okay, and then he decided to put Gomez in after they just equalised and we needed Trent for the creative output. It was just weird.
What the fuck was Gomez doing?
Nothing.
And he was worse. And he was, I'm sorry.
Mitoma must have been like,
I'm going to have to watch the episode because I didn't catch that.
No, I mean, what I mean, Trent,
yeah, he was locked really, up. He Matoma. Was really good.
Like, if it was Wan-Bissaka, people would have thank been you. Giving shout him out his to flowers.
Trent. Shout out to Trent.
So he came off the pitch and it's like, oh, now all of a sudden Matoma's in the game. Yeah. He was linking up play. Can he was doing his little pirouette. Can you
repeat that about Trent, please?
Yeah, please, please. Matoma. Can you look in the camera?
Let's give Trent his flowers. We can decide.
Thank you.
He did. Yeah, considering how much he shot on his defensive ability.
And hands up. Matoma was in the game for me. I didn't even know he was playing.
I've been saying this. I was like, oh my God. Let's be specific. No. But I've been saying this. When Trent does well defensively, no one talks about it.
Because he's just doing his job.
But whenever he makes a mistake, it's highlighted to extreme proportions. Reece James, Wan-Bissaka, they all make mistakes.
They always get compared to Trent after they make the mistake.
And I know when it was good.
How bad was the mistake?
Like,
but it's true though. Trent never catches a break.
He doesn't.
So if there was one player to highlight, would it have been Trent in that Brighton match?
For good reasons, yes. Double. Yes, for good reasons, yes. McAllister today, yeah.
I need to ask your opinion, Ella. Are you happy with him in the team?
No!
Wait, was
no.
he?
Ever
was
since,
he
I just think, what does that man do but get cards?
Okay, let me just address this all at once. Yeah. So McAllister is not a six. We all know he's not a six. He's not equipped to be a six, but he's playing a six. So I don't really understand. We've got Endo on the bench. Klopp doesn't fancy him. Doesn't want to play him there. And yeah, we're kind of waiting for Thiago whenever he wants to come back.
This is such a sophisticated drive. What is Thiago in
injury? So he had a hip surgery. I didn't even know about that.
Ella, why are you speaking like that? She's like, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, he had a hip surgery. Was meant to come back during pre-season. Had a setback. Was meant to come back during the last international break. Didn't see him. And now he's meant to come back after the international break. I don't expect to see him. Like, I fully expect him to play about 5 games.
That man is just collecting his checks.
And it's just a shame because he's such a good player. Mm. Like, him, McAllister and Szoboszlai, that's, in my opinion, a title charge if we could. Why are you laughing?
Oh. Why are you joking?
She needs the water again.
Sis,
everything all right?
I mean...
No, I think we would challenge, but I just don't think we have a suitable six that's consistent enough.
Do you think you're defensively strong enough to challenge for a title?
No.
Ask Robertson, man.
No. No, but I think that's for a variety of reasons. Because one, I don't know what's going on with Konate Matip. I think Klopp needs to make a decision on who's first choice, because I don't think that helps the team. And as you saw today, you just subbed him on for no particular reason. Mm. So he just needs to pin down his centre-back pairing. But yeah, I just think it's just having a set spine. And we don't have that with McAllister in the six. And I think that's the problem. We know Thiago won't stay fit. So it's just wishful thinking at this point. But yeah, we take the point.
He's trying to get Endo up to speed or something. Or...
I don't even know.
Klopp has a habit of doing that, though, with players.
Yeah, he does.
Sit them out for as long as he needs.
He did that with Fabinho.
But they need him now. That's the problem. He may need him to get up to speed, but he needs to play.
Who's your game after the international break?
Everton, so we better show up.
Oh, Merseyside derby.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Shout out Marvin. They cooked this weekend, bro. They did really good.
Hey, yeah. Liverpool looking a little shaky.
They didn't cook that much.
Not quite.
They did very, very good this weekend, Marva.
Putting together some good form. Good form. But all right, cool. Before we wrap this up, because we've got about 5 minutes left, we've spoken about Tottenham, we've spoken about Liverpool, spoken about Arsenal, spoken about Man City. We haven't spoken West Ham. About Chelsea. Oh, bitch. Sister West Ham.
You know,
bitch.
You know how I like my bubble people.
So, what we gonna do? We're about to do a WWE clip. Tag team. Jai's about to tag Brie into.
Into for context,
play.
For people that don't watch the video, the visuals, Brie just skipped in to the seat because someone got 3 points.
3 point collectors.
3 points, 3 goals.
Boy, oh boy. Be scared.
What about Chelsea football club?
Chelsea. She's been talking way too much.
Anyway, hi guys. The last time I was officially like on the pod was when repeat the statement. I'm here now.
It's okay, celebrate. She got
it. I said I'm here to acknowledge.
You guys didn't even let me finish my sentence. Well, it's actually been over a year since I've been on the pod and behind the mic, and it so happened to be when Chelsea has just, you know, been on a bit of a roll.
Is that a coincidence or is that?
It's a coincidence.
I haven't seen the script here.
It's a coincidence, I must say. But yeah, good times for Chelsea. Starting from a Fulham game over the week, that was great. I think we were celebrating the goal. Yeah, that's how new in the trenches. We're celebrating the goals like we were in the Champions League final. Like, that's how bad it's been. So it was actually refreshing to see us actually being 2-0 up before halftime. At one point, though, when we first started, I remember Brojoa missed an important chance. Me and Anita decided, you know what? Let's pour some wine and start taking a shot for every chances that we missed. But actually, the game ended quite well, so it was a good start.
You still would have been drunk.
Yeah, for sure. But I think, you know what? I think Chelsea, we're starting to find our rhythm. Poch is starting to establish what the core starting 11 should be from game to game. Like even yesterday, I think starting Sterling was great because he was incredible. You know, won us the penalty, got us the... Did he get another goal yesterday?
He got a goal and assisted.
He was involved in all four.
He was basically involved in everything. He was... No, like Sterling is the real definition of a role model at Chelsea right now, because when you think of the squad, everyone else is quite young, and I feel like it's really great to have a black man, especially with all of like the young black boys we have in the team, just being that representation.
No,
even sometimes I see names, I'm just like, who the hell is this person?
Crystal Palace, man.
But no, back to Sterling, I think he's going to be a key person on our squad this season. And please, Chelsea medical team, please just keep him fit, because we need him. We really, really need him. But I think so far this season's been doing well. I do think it's disrespectful that Southgate has left him out again. But as a Chelsea fan, I'm happy about that, because that means he's going to be well-rested for our first Premier League game in a couple of weeks. Don't need to talk about that just yet. But overall, I think I'm incredibly happy. I hope that Modric is fine. I mean, he was on the bench yesterday, so I hope it's nothing.
Yeah, I was actually about to ask. Speaking of, like, injuries.
Yeah.
How much is it a detriment for Modric to be all of a sudden out injured, especially halfway through a Fulham game, where after his goal, my man was hooping. Yeah. The step over that he was doing, I hadn't seen his step over like that in a very long time. But he was hooping and he got injuries. So how detrimental do you think that can be to his time going forward?
I think it'll be very detrimental if he gets injured now, because I feel like he's only starting to find his feet as well. Like, even for the game, you could see that the confidence is coming in. And he also did have a bit of a hard time when he just first came into Chelsea. So I think he's finally starting to find his place. And if this injury happens now, it's just... Yeah, I don't know what to think. It's just going to be a long...
Do you reckon... And Shai, don't even look at me funny. Do you reckon that Modric being in this team ahead of Sterling is a possibility that you can see in the future? Considering how well... we have seen him play. I know it was only one match, even half a match. Mm-hmm. But considering that match, and then considering, you know, the kind of setbacks that Sterling had last season, even though right now he's carrying us on his back, he won't be here forever.
No.
Can Modric feel that,
man? He's 28.
I'm not even just talking about the fact that he's not that old. It's just the fact that the way Chelsea's moved right now with their regime, they might be looking for someone younger to take Sterling's place once that contract runs out.
Chelsea 28 is geriatric.
As Sir Alex Ferguson once said, not in my lifetime.
To answer your question, I don't think I'm scared if Modric was to take Sterling's place, because like you said, we're planning long term here. So there's still enough time anyway.
But let's talk about Caicedo, yeah?
Oh god.
Hello. Let's talk about Caicedo. And Caicedo on the weekend. Is the guy saying that I've been waiting for my entire bloody life? That man was hooping. And everyone's saying Chelsea have finally got the pieces together. And Bree, do you reckon that Caicedo has been the person to kind of bring it together over the weekend?
give it up. Give me a. Ask me again in a month's time.
I think that's fair. Yeah. I think that's fair. Yeah, yeah. Because at the moment, the Caicedo we're looking at, fair enough, has been good. It's the one that we've been looking at and scouting at Brighton. But when you put it and think about Ella's situation where he was supposedly supposed to go to Liverpool, it's not like they're missing out either on him. And you guys are only just about reaping the benefits of having him there. So.
And world-class players perform at that level week in, week out, without fail, to be fair.
Yeah, but he's still young. He's like 20.
Exactly. Yeah, but you cost 100 and whatever something million. There's an expectation.
Laura, this hate us.
Jackie Grealish will pay.
Wait. We all know that the football market is inflated, so let's stop this whole podcast.
Like, just because your club can't do it, if you have a certain price tag, there is an expectation that you hit the level.
We're wrapping up the guy.
We're wrapping this up.
You know, the same way of Rice, of Grealish, of Jude Bellingham, if you cost a certain amount of money, you're going to have to perform at that level week in, week out.
Even if you're young and 20 years old.
Yes, because the price tag doesn't change. Depending on your age.
Lovren, but everyone is expensive these days.
Not 100 million.
Not everyone.
No, sorry, they're not
the
all
the average
million.
Price of a
just
player.
Just because you can afford it. Just because you can afford it.
That's fine, because that is my point. Not everybody is operating at that level. So there is an expectation. There are, people will look and say, if you are spending that, if you have cost that much money, not spending, it's not like Caicedo spent the money on himself. If you cost that much money, there is going to be eyes and there's going to be expectation, and
so,
he has to deal with that.
Okay,
as well.
So if we bought a player, for 6 million, we expect him to perform as someone that's worth 6 million. Not necessarily.
People were not.
But that's the same, but it's the same thing. Like, you're saying 100 million. That's because you're like, you're worth 100 million.
People wouldn't be doing double stats if they cost 6 million.
It's because reason why you paid that price. Yeah. And everyone wants to see that reason. Basically. The reason was the demand was high and we had to drive it higher because Liverpool wanted them. We know for a fact
but
that
Chelsea's the one that inflated the market and United.
Do you know what?
My point is the
point blank. Yeah, point blank. Caicedo did a great job over the weekend for Chelsea. And we're finally starting to see Chelsea click as a whole. And in my opinion, in my eyes anyway, you watched that match and you saw Caicedo and you saw how much he strengthened that midfield. And it's like, maybe it's because I've been clutching at straws here for Chelsea for such a long time. It's such a breath of fresh air to see him, Conor Gallagher and Enzo Fernandez in that midfield trio working so well. And Bree, I don't know what your comments are about Conor Gallagher, but seeing him play so well and so progressively, and so it's refreshing to see. And I've gone from being a fan that didn't want Conor Gallagher to start to a fan that thinks if Conor Gallagher doesn't start this game, I don't think we're going to get the 3 points in a short space of time.
Yeah, no, he's growing on me, but we'll touch base on that next week.
Anyways, full time, Lauren.
Full time.
Disagree that. Oh, please let us know if you disagree that you can't have high expectations on.
No,
very,
I'm not saying you
player.
Can't have high expectations, but Caicedo is young. Like, give him time.
Anyways, full time, Lauren.
You're
3, 8, 9. Gold diggers, 1.
And guess what, bitch? You can't afford it. So we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you guys for listening to the Gold Diggers podcast. Make sure you're following us at GoldDiggersUK _ on Instagram, at GoldDiggersUK on Twitter, at GoldDiggersUK on TikTok. And we have been selected in a cohort by TikTok for Black History Month as one of their Black Trailblazers. I know. Honestly, like, it couldn't have been possible without you guys that support us every single week when you watch us. So make sure you hit that subscribe button. Make sure you have your notifications on. Make sure you go follow us on TikTok to support us there as well. But we will see you next week where it's international break. And boy, oh boy, I know a couple of these ladies have words for Gareth Southgate. Because if Jude Bellingham ain't playing where he needs to be playing,
we'll be there.
You'll see. We'll be back. See you guys later.
Bye.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.